On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend, and Money Matters from ARC Federal Credit Union. Liesl Kaffhammer is with us once again this month. Liesl?
Hi, Doug.
And we were talking about some basics, and this may have sounded a little basic, but it's for teens as well as adults as well as teens.
Right. Yeah, sometimes people just never really get those basic starting habits for finances and money management. So you just kind of, I won't say fake it till you make it, but with money, if you fake it, sometimes you're not making it. So you need those little guides, even if you're already, you know, far into managing your own money. You may be struggling and not know why, not know what to do. So here's the basics. And if you're just getting into it, it's good to get these early. If you're already far into it and you think, oh, I've already made mistakes, don't get disheartened. Here's some tips. Start here.
Now, if you want to listen to the first half of this, listen to last month's. We were talking about different types of banking accounts, savings account, managing them, and tracking your spending. And I guess we would get up to the point here where we're talking about starting a simple budget, something we've often talked about on the program, but just going over that helps because?
Because you need to know where your money is going, right? If you don't know how to organize it or how much you're spending if you don't at first track, hey, this is where I'm spending all my money. Because how else can you say, oh man, I really did overspend on eating out this past month, or things like video games or whatever your hobbies are. Like, I don't really need that part to survive. I can trim back here if I'm having trouble making my rent payment for the month or my mortgage. You know, you have to prioritize and then realize if you need to trim your budget, where can you trim it at? But you can't make those additional steps before you take that first step of building a budget with it, which is, where am I spending my money? Where does my money go?
You know, I've talked about it before in the program, and I realize this is not ideal and not necessarily what Liesl would recommend. So just so we're clear, you make X spend much less than X. But, you know, I could probably even spend a lot less if I actually made the written budget, couldn't I?
Most people, I would say yes. And it's surprising once you lay it all out. And if you think, oh my gosh, I have to go back through and look at everything I did. You know what? Start today and start paying attention today and track it for the next, you know, paycheck or two. And just say, okay, what am I doing going forward from here? If the thought of going back through all your records and trying to figure it out going backwards seems daunting, start now going forwards, right? And just each day, you know, take a look at your online banking transactions. And, you know, if you do pay for anything with cash, oh, I know it sounds terrible when I say try and keep those receipts, but that's not a lot of people pay for things with cash anymore. So most of it, you have a digital record right there in front of you.
Or the only thing I would suggest on that is if you say, oh, well, you don't have to keep track of the cash because you so seldom spend it. I've known people that, as soon as I'm keeping my budget, I don't have to write down the cash. Suddenly they're spending more cash and charging less.
Yeah.
And it can either come out as a wash or much worse.
Yeah. If you do prefer cash, and that's fine, people do, then just know how much you are spending in cash, right? Realize that, oh, yeah, that's right. So-and-so gave me $50 because I did something for them or I got them this. And then I just spent that when we went out to eat again. So realize, oh, I am spending more when we go out to eat than I realized, or whatever it is that you're spending on.
I still remember in college, I would try to spend no more than $25 a week. That included the supermarket.
Oh, my goodness.
That included the supermarket. Now, it didn't include rent, but it was, in other words, spending money would be supermarket and if you go out to eat and get anything. And there were days weeks I'd have something left over. Wow, that's great. And other weeks it's like, I'm out already.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say, when was that? It was the dark ages. Actually, I graduated in 80. So go and figure out the math and how much that would be now. I was probably spending too much as it was. But somehow I always had enough afterwards. So, you know, but again, that didn't include the rent, which included everything at the time.
Okay.
I didn't have to pay for separate trash removal. I didn't have to pay for gas or electric.
Oh,
that was college. Yeah. So living in an old house was, you know, in one room of it was pretty much all I needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known people that actually keep a little pad and paper. By the way, I went by one of those in the store the other day. They used to be like 25 cents. $1.79. Yeah, well.
Oh, inflation.
Yeah. Now, some people are going to say, well, keep it on your phone. Fine. If you remember to enter it every time on your phone, that's great. If you don't, get the little pad and paper, even if it's $1.79 now.
And that is the biggest secret to managing this stuff is you have to do what works for you. Right. I can't just sit here and tell everybody, OK, download this app and put everything in here and you're set. I wish I could do that. But some people are not fans of that kind of software and using that stuff. It doesn't mesh for them. And they want the paper and the pencil and they want all of that stuff hands on. And some people will not touch a pen and paper. That is not their thing. They have to have it on a computer or they want it in their hands on their phone all the time. You have to do what works for you or else you'll never get anywhere with it.
As an example, to help schedule this show, I have a paper calendar.
Yeah.
And I think this year it's birds. Last year it was the Rockies and other mountains. So whatever it is, you know, that's how it works for me. I know other people, they've got seven different calendars on their phone and somehow they manage it. I would be driven insane on that and I wouldn't be able to manage anything properly. Do what works for you.
I feel attacked by that statement, Doug. Just saying.
Well, we've hit a note here. But speaking of that, mastering online and mobile banking tools is something that even a Luddite like me has to do, and I've been able to do it. So what do you suggest there?
So the online aspect of banking is one of the most wonderful things that has happened. And I don't just want to say in the past few years, I mean, the online has been around for a while, but especially since COVID, I think it's one of the best things that's come out of such a fiasco that was the pandemic, is that so many people said, hey, I have to start using this and really familiarize themselves with it. And I think realized that, oh my gosh, this is easier than I thought. You know, like I can do this. This is okay.
Well, people have the time to mess with it.
Right. Exactly. Mm. So the adoption of the online banking and the mobile deposit and things like that really picked up. And it's been a big help because there are members, customers, people that were very uncomfortable with that and they missed out on a lot of opportunities to do banking transactions quickly and easily. And we don't want to see that at all, right? You want to make sure you get all of your finances taken care of in a timely manner so that you don't get any fines or fees or anything like that. The online banking apps are vaguely similar overall, like they offer pretty much the same services, but each financial institution kind of has their own layout. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how your bank or your credit union, how theirs operates, reach out to them. There should be employees there that are willing to say, hey, stop in, we'll help walk you through it, you know, the first time or two till you get the hang of it.
Now, the other one here is under the listing of things of mastering your online and mobile banking tools. Check your account balance. That's wonderful, unless, much like the person who says, oh, I've got checks, I can't be out of money. If you wrote something and, all right, say you've got, it says you got $1,000 in your account, but you forgot you wrote a check for $800 for something.
Right.
Well, you don't have the $1,000, so you don't go out and spend the $1,000 because you really got $200 and you don't want to spend it all.
Right. So that is one of the big perks of keeping a traditional register. And there are digital versions of those for people that are like, oh my gosh, a paper register. They do make digital versions. So you would just put in the information like, oh, I wrote check number 150 out for, you know, $800. And it'll help you keep track of, oh, well, your balance is supposed to be 1,000, but you have that check you wrote. Mm-hmm. Even though it didn't come through the system yet, you cannot spend that money. It has to sit there in the account till that person cashes that check, which is, I think, why a lot of people have really moved away from paper checks, is that you're waiting on that other person to cash that check before it comes out of your account.
Yet I know some people that work by check, whether it be the water authority, whether it be the guy that collects your trash once a week, they accept checks. So,
yeah, and I mean, most places will, and in the business world, paper checks are still extremely common. But usually those businesses have systems in place to track and automate all that. But as an individual, know how they work, right? But if it's not your preferred method of payment, at least don't get caught making the mistake of, oh, I forgot to account for that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to write it in the register or put it in the virtual register on your phone. One of the two. If you forget both, it's kind of pointless. And then you just have to remind yourself. It won't matter what system you use. You have to record the check.
Yes, and that is part of building that budget, is saying when you write that check, do I have the funds to spend on this? Is this something that I have the money for? So starting with that, building a budget really is what helps everything overall. And some financial institutions will allow you to, and I hate to say this, but allow you to spend more than what you have in your account. They take you negative. So it can be a good thing if there's an emergency, right? Something happens, you're stranded, your car breaks down, you need to get emergency repairs.
Right.
You know the money's not there, but you know that, hey, you know what, ARC is going to clear my check for me. It'll take me negative, you know, a little, say $200. We don't take anybody negative more than $400 if we're processing like a check or a credit card transaction, depending on, I'm sorry, a debit card transaction. I misspoke. Depending on what they opt in for or authorize us to do. But you have that little bit of cushion in case something happens. There are fees attached to that, and that varies depending on the financial institution, how much they'll charge you, because basically we're loaning you money short term to cover that. So if you're in a situation where you need it, it's a little bit of a, oh, thank goodness that was there. But we don't want people to rely on that and think every week.
If you know you can do that and you do that multiple times, you're going to end up in Dutch with it. You could, and like you've mentioned before, have your account linked if you have a savings account with a couple thousand in it.
Well, and that's our system automatically connects your base savings account to your checking. So if you have money in savings and you don't have it in the checking, it will pull it over automatically.
Yeah, you go over by 37 bucks, it'll take the 37 out and let you know.
Yep, it comes up. So in your transaction, you'll see a little list says overdraft.
And not everybody has that, or in some cases you have to ask for it. So check with your institution or deal with ARC since they do it automatically.
And be careful about the terminology can get confusing too, because like in our system, we consider an overdraft transfer, you pulled from savings, moved it to checking. If you didn't have money in either and we had to take you negative and charge you a fee, we call that courtesy pay. So there's different terminology from place to place.
Yeah.
So just if you're not sure, always ask.
But at least you'll do that. We were talking with Liesl Kapphammer, and we'll continue here, talk about the basics of things. And there's one thing about checks, when we still have the paper checks, that I want to talk about next, because I know some people that love it and some people like me that wouldn't go near it. But Money Matters on WRTA is sponsored by ARC Federal Credit Union. Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC Federal Credit Union. This is Money Matters. We're talking about simple things and managing money, and we were talking about online and mobile banking tools. And this is one that I saw years ago because a friend of mine had a very, very big bank based in America. I can't tell you the title or the name of the bank, but he had, he still has a business. He doesn't have that bank anymore because I saw him go up to the drive-up teller. Oh, they closed a half an hour ago. Gets out his phone, takes a picture of the check, hits send, and it goes into the account. And I says, how do you know it went in? Well, it'll show up online. What if it doesn't? And guess what? Sometimes in the future, it didn't. So that's that particular bank and that particular time, that particular transaction. Do you guys offer that? And what do you recommend people do with that? I mean, taking a picture of it seems like a good idea. I don't know what you do with the original afterwards. I certainly wouldn't get rid of it until it clears.
Yes. So good points. All of those are good points. When mobile banking and the mobile deposit, especially mobile deposit, first showed up on the scene, it had some glitches. It was, there were some issues around it. But that was years ago. It has definitely streamlined. It is a much more reliable process now. ARC does have it. Most financial institutions that I know of do offer it because if you have an app on your phone for your online banking, probably there's the option to mobile deposit a check. Sometimes there is a required form to sign, just stating that you understand all the different limits on the deposits and things like that. But so if you're having trouble accessing it or you're pulling it up and saying, well, it's here, but why can't I use it? Reach out to your financial institution. I know at ARC we do have a form that you just have to sign before we can turn it on in your account. So little things like that. But it is much more reliable, much more secure than it had been when it first came out and some of the larger institutions were implementing it. As you had said, what do you do with the check after you take a picture of it? It does list on our form that you would sign that, you hold on to it for a certain period of time in case there are any disputes that would arise or anything. But when you mobile deposit a check, on the back, you would write for mobile deposit only. So if later you try to take it into a, like a branch and deposit it, they would see on the back that you've already mobile deposited it. There's also a lot of the checks now are being printed with a little box to check when you mobile deposit. It specifically says check here for mobile deposit, and there's a little checkbox. So that's another way that they can know if it's already been mobile deposited, which is convenient. But there are just more safeguards in place now.
And I think people have to be realistic. If you were to say, well, why can't I use this right away? Well, if you went up to a teller and handed them the check, you couldn't immediately draw on that check in a lot of instances, especially if it's a major amount of money. They're not going to give you more than you have in your account already. It has to be processed. It has to clear. And just taking a picture and giving it to the bank is no different than just handing them the check. It's it's not cleared yet.
Right. Yeah, they do take time to process those. Now, things are faster than they used to be, but nothing yet is instant. Who knows what the future holds, right?
Yeah.
But there is a day or two usually of lag time if you're depositing it on a federal holiday or a weekend.
Yeah.
Make sure you account for that. Like, oh, well, 24 hours, business days, right? Figure business days.
Something else you can do is transfer between accounts, which I find convenient on my app. And it's just exactly what it sounds like. Oh, I know I've got a big event or a big check I'm going to have to write, and payday isn't until a week and a half, so I'll just transfer $200 out of the savings and put it there so that that way I know I'm covered. And you can transfer it back if you want later. That's the discipline part of it.
Right. And you can also set up those automatic transfers so that when your paycheck goes in and you say, oh, I want that $50 to go into my savings, you can do that on your own manually. I like to set mine up automatically so I don't have to think about it. And that money's gone before I can ever see it to spend it on something that maybe I didn't really need. But I was like, there, I have money for that.
Yeah.
Nope,
this next one here I think is something that more people are doing simply because for my cell phone, for example, it used to be I could just put it on my credit card and it was auto pay. And they said, well, we're not going to do that anymore. It has to come out of your checking account because they were getting dinged a fee every time they did that. And it's like, nope, not going to do that anymore. If you want the auto pay price, give us your checking account number, which some people aren't happy about. And some people it's like, well, that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah. Yep. And that is true. Some places prefer to have, you know, the checking account numbers to make payments. But autopay is very convenient for certain bills just because you do not want to risk getting a late fee, especially if it's like, you know, utilities or like your phone bill or something. Also, I guess the caveat there is a lot of times things like utilities can vary month to month.
Yes, they do.
So if that's something that concerns you, like, oh my gosh, but in the summer, my electric bill is sky high because of my air conditioning. So I don't know if I want that on auto pay. A lot, I know, at least I think it's the gas company is one of them, that you can do something with them.
Budget.
Where they, yes, that, thank you, where they charge you the same amount every month throughout the year because they look at your previous year and say, hey, this is what you generally have used on average for the year. This is what we're going to go through for next year. If it holds steady, we can keep it going. If they have to adjust it, they can adjust it.
And just to let you know, there can be a balloon payment at the end of that if you used way more than you expected to use. So maybe I'll leave it up to, you know, I mean, up to everybody. Do you want to have the actual amount, which is what I opted for eventually, as opposed to the budget amount? Because one utility said, oh, well, now, yes, you did use more. And what we'd like to do is now double what you've been paying every month. And I figured it out. Yeah, I'd be paying you three times what I'm using.
Oh, my.
And they said, yeah, and? I said, yeah, change it back to the actual billing per month. And the other utility was like, yeah, we have no problem. You know, it's like you can pay based exactly on what you have paid before. And that will adjust at the end of the year. But there wasn't any unhappy surprise at the end of it. So, you know, it depends on who you're dealing with, what they're going to have you do on that. Receive alerts on low balances, suspicious activity. That doesn't hurt to have that. I have that on my credit cards. You can get that on your account. Why not?
Yes. And that's just something where, like, in our online banking for ARCs, you log in there under notifications. So you go in and create a notification if, say, your balance drops below $50 or if a transaction comes in over a certain amount, anything. There's a lot of parameters within there that you can set. So I do really like that feature. That's very convenient. So play around with those settings. If you guys have ARC for your account here and you have online banking, check out the notifications.
I set all my notifications to $1.
Yeah.
And you know what? I get notifications for every single transaction, so yeah. I don't have to worry about it. You have a tip on here about look for banks with a solid app and no fees. Credit unions and community banks are a really great place to get started. And also, you have somebody local. I mean, you're not calling Timbuktu to get it straightened out. You can walk down the street and talk to you guys, one of the brick and mortars.
Right. Yes. That is a huge point of convenience for a lot of our members, as they say about, you know, we really appreciate being able to talk to people that we've met in person. You know, we know who you guys are, and you just feel much more at ease, especially when it's something like your money, right? This is something that is crucial to, you know, you getting through your day to day is the people that are taking care of your finances, essentially, and making sure that everything's okay. So you have to feel comfortable talking to them when you have questions. So I know as a smaller financial institution, we don't outsource to a large call center. So when we're not open, we do have a bot that'll help answer general questions outside of business hours, but it can cover most of the basics. And if it doesn't know, then we'll get it as soon as we get back in the office. But
yeah, I mean, you may be used to checking your credit card balance at 2 a.m, but that doesn't mean somebody's going to be at the local office, even if they have local people.
Yeah, and you can always get on online banking and check credit cards, debit, you know, your checking account balance, your
yeah. All that. Common mistakes to avoid. Nobody starts out perfect. That's true of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So don't get discouraged. but yeah, don't forget to check in on those balances, right? That's a big thing you have to remember to do. People think that they're just on cruise control with their finances, and that's a bad thing to get into the habit of. So check your online banking. If something comes through that you didn't do, yeah. Fraudulent charges, usually our system can flag them, but it doesn't catch everything all the time. So keep an eye on that.
But report it as soon mm-hmm. as possible. Also, something that some people don't. Now, you're going to say, some people are going to laugh. Well, of course, I know the difference. I've met too many people who don't. Debit is your money. Credit is borrowed money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, debit cards and credit cards, which here I am. I misspoke just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
So, and the words are so close. They both look. You look at a debit card and you look at a credit card. And if you don't know that it's your bank or whose they are, you might not be able to tell somebody else's apart. So please be aware that if you're using your debit card to pay for something, that money comes directly from your checking account right away. If you're using a credit card to pay for something, that is a little loan that you are taking out, and you may be paying it back with interest if you take too long to pay it back.
Yeah. And or you may want to wait because, oh, let's see, if I use my credit card, it's going to be due on the 20th, and I get paid before that. So, yeah, it's more convenient to use that than the debit right now. It depends on your situation and what you're doing with it. Before we go, we wanted to make mention, you guys have a lot of people coming in asking about student loans right now.
Yes, this is the prime time when people are getting ready. Those recent graduates are getting ready to go to college. They've filled out their FAFSAs. They've applied for grants and scholarships. And you may be at the point where you realize, oh, my goodness, I still have, you know, a gap to fill, right? I don't have all of the money I need to pay for this first semester or so that's where we come in. We specialize in helping kind of fill that gap so that you don't have to take out a ton of private loans. You always want to keep the amount of private loans you have to take out for student loans to a minimum because you can get better rates from those federal loans. And if it's a grant or a scholarship, you don't have to pay that back. So that's ideal. But we have a really good program that is set up as for undergrads as a line of credit. So you apply like your first year, and then we just check in each year. And there's some requirements from the school that you have to meet. And if anybody wants more information, our loan officer, Matt, can help out with that. But it's a really nice program.
And your brick and mortar locations are?
1919 7th Avenue, Altoona, and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
And the phone number if somebody wants to reach you?
814-946-0857.
And the website?
arcfcu.org.
Now, you can find all that information as well on the podcast of this program up in just a few minutes at WRTA.com. From ARC Federal Credit Union, Liesl Kapphammer, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.